anybody that dares to walk across that parking lot. And over across the street and up and around in this area, talking to people. I don't know. I led a young lady to the Lord maybe 2 or 3 weeks back. Monica, I don't know if she's here tonight. She is. Just wave at me. She was waiting on the table there, and I talked to her. I told her that God had a plan for her life and that Jesus died so she could live and be forgiven of her sins. And had she ever prayed? She said, I've never prayed. I said, would you like to pray and ask Christ, ask Jesus to forgive you and come into your heart and life, change you? Big old tears, she started crying. It's right there in the restaurant. Is that you? No, that's Brandy back there. Looks a little bit like her. Sorry. And I'm not picking on you. I'm just looking for her. Anyway, she did accept the Lord. Didn't know a thing. Didn't have a Bible. Never read the Bible. Didn't know what church was about. And she said, when's Mass? I said, 10 o'clock Sunday morning. But you know what? That's where the action is. It really is. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to minister out of Acts chapter 13 for a few minutes and share something with you that I had taken copious notes on in Nairobi, Kenya, over in East Africa here just a few weeks back. And it struck a chord in my heart about the necessity and the need for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And of course, in this passage, we'll see what is involved and how and what a change comes when we're baptized in the Holy Ghost or however the Holy Spirit, however you prefer. But the same synonymous, the fact is that it is not a suggestion, it is a mandate. And so we're looking at something here that's very important, and verse number 4 starts us off with Paul. And it says, so being sent out, Acts 13:4, by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, and when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, a sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to help him, lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed. When he saw what had been done, he believed, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now, this is called the Acts of the Apostles, but really, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And the church is born, and we see in the Old Testament, God preparing for the church, and the book of Acts gives us an understanding of how the Holy Spirit works and what God does when someone is hungry and willing and is filled. I was raised as in church, so I understood. And we said, the Holy Ghost. So if you want to put the Holy Spirit, fine. But the truth of the matter is, it's the baptism that matters. It's the Spirit of God that matters. And that's the difference. That really is the difference. Not just church, not just program, not just a lecture. No, this is an experience. So the first thing I want to touch on is this is not just an invitation in the scripture. This is a mandate. They were commanded to be filled, go to Jerusalem, wait on the Lord, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It happened in Acts chapter 2. So if we're going to have fruit, if we're going to have dominion over demons and witchcraft and diabolical strategies of the devil, we're going to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out devils, the kingdom of God has come unto you. Kingdom means power. He said, not just his name. Oh, there are people all over South America named Jesus. But he said, if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out devils, of course there's power in his name, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the backdrop here is that here's Saul or Paul, and he's ready to preach with Barnabas, and as they're preparing to speak to this intelligent man, the scripture says in verse number 7, who was a proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. So he's wanting to hear God's word, but he's surrounded by all of these people, and here he is, someone is coming on the scene, and the sorcerer, or this demonized person, did not want this to go forth. I can tell you, the devil hates preaching. The devil hates a testimony. And so as they began to preach, someone surrounded the governor, and this man's waiting to hear, and this sorcerer did what he did to him to hinder, and he did not want this intelligent man who would touch many other lives to hear the gospel. And so here they are, but something else is going on. It's not just people. It's not just another gathering. The Holy Ghost was necessary. And we must understand, if we are going to do business for God, listen, we are in a war for souls, eternal souls. It's a real war for people to become delivered and brought to Christ and their life changed. And so there's two gods. There's a true God and there's a false God. And the false God is bold, and the true God is also bold. Both of them want souls. They do everything they can to drag a soul into eternity without the Lord Jesus. And so here it is, a question, who is going to win? Who is going to win? Well, I believe Zechariah said that God's going to win. It's not by might, Zechariah 4:6, but by not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That baby that was just born, any doctor that's got a lick of sense will tell you that that's a miracle. All those little fingers, those little eyelashes, and those eyes, and all the characteristics. When a person comes to God, an eternal soul has been brought, delivered out of darkness into light. And I appreciate all the friendship books and stuff on winning people, but I'm going to tell you tonight, there is a real enemy out there, and he wants to take people into eternity forever and eternally damn them to hell. We're in a war, and nothing has changed over all the centuries. It's still a reality, and so that is something that's happening in this passage. This sorcerer doesn't want this man to hear the gospel. The second thing I want you to notice with me is, what about opposition? You know something? I've seen revival. I know the difference. And I'm going to tell you, there is no revival without opposition. There's always opposition. Moses, when he went to deliver the children of Israel, and he throws down that staff, and the staff turns into a serpent. I think that's pretty awesome. But here come the magicians. And the magicians of Pharaoh throw their staff down, and it turns into a serpent too. What's that tell me? That tells me that this is a spiritual battle. But what's the difference? God's serpent, Moses' staff, took the others and swallowed them up. Just that simple. I think that's something. When you think of Elijah, when he challenges the gods of Baal and all those false worshipers of Baal, rather, and he challenges them to a showdown and pours the water. And you know the story. You can read it. If you haven't read the story, you ought to read it, how that they made the altar, brought the sacrifice, brought the water, and the fire of God came down and lapped that water up, took that sacrifice up. It was a miracle, and the people turned to God. Oh, how they turned. And I thought about this story. Right after that victory, this man went into a state of discouragement and depression, and it usually happens after a victory. Amen. But God showed up, and this is the truth. The power of God, the Holy Ghost, is still necessary in 2018. Was there opposition? Is there opposition? Look at verse 8 and 9. But Elymas, a sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. Now, then it comes with a strong rebuke. And these are strong words. He said, you devil, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting? I mean, this Saul had some scrap inside of him. He had something in there. What was it? He was full, it said, filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. And here this man goes blind. The story is self-explanatory. He's needing someone to lead him around. Now, notice number 12, verse 12, and I want to close with this because this is so important. Then the proconsul believed, and when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Manifestations are necessary for conversions and lives to be changed. I saw it Sunday morning. I saw people healed. I saw some baptized in the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I saw some that were delivered, I don't know what, from whatever. I saw a manifestation. Manifestations are necessary for conversions. Now, somebody might say, well, you know, I understand there are different personalities. But I can tell you that there will be some kind of manifestation that will be there that will absolutely transform your life. One of the greatest I ever saw was when I was a boy, 7 years old in Brownsville, Tennessee, and there was a lady in the church named Sister Warren, and Sister Warren was a good woman. They had the altar down on the front, that's the way the altars were, separate from the platform. My dad would jump all the way over to that altar, and he'd preach with his eyes closed. I'd walk that altar and preach. And he's a hellfire Pentecostal. I'm telling you, preacher, he was moving back. And at the end, Sister Warren came up, and the power of God knocked her down and split her head open. Blood was all over the place, and he ran over there, put his hand on her head, and the blood disappeared, and the wound closed up. And I said, wow, that's pretty amazing. I remember when we were in Flagstaff, Arizona, pioneering that church, Maria and I had an evangelist by the name of Larry Reed who had been in San Quentin prison. He'd been a heroin addict. And Larry Reed gave an altar call one night, and there was a man sitting about halfway back. He was determined to resist and not be saved. I actually saw him, his arm going like this. He was trying to hold it down, and he couldn't hold it down. And then the Lord walked him to the altar just like this. I wish you'd do that to some of you guys tonight. You know what? There will be manifestations are necessary, but the church world, no likey. It scared them. I can tell you tonight, I know there are different personalities. We'll get to that in just a second. But I'm going to tell you, we did not start this plan of redemption. God did. We did not start this plan of salvation. lives being changed and homes being healed and people being saved and delivered from demons and healed and their hearts and minds completely transformed. We didn't start this plan of salvation. God started this plan long time ago in the heart of God. Even before, in the counsel of God, in his wisdom, he knew all about this. And so when it comes, there are many times and there are many people that do not understand that there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit, but there are many fillings of the Holy Spirit. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but there's many fillings. And the fullness of the Holy Spirit is evidenced by the speaking in tongues, most unruly member of our body. So when it comes to being filled with the Holy Ghost, there are a lot of people, there are many fillings. But watch what I'm going to say. If you do not practice praying, praising, believing, speaking in English or Spanish or in tongues, something is going to happen and you risk walking away from God. Oh, many people walk to church, but they're away from God. And they risk going back into carnality and going back into the world. Look over, if you will, at Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. In Acts, it says here, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness." Now, they had already been filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit. But here it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But here, again, something is going on. They're being filled, refilled with the Holy Spirit. If you turn over to Mark chapter 5 and verse 30, here it simply says, here's some of the power that went out of Jesus, and it says, I believe Pastor Paul touched on this Sunday, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" So the power of the Holy Spirit went out of him where there was faith and healed her of that horrible condition. And so Jesus is still doing. But listen, there's preaching and there's teaching and there's all kinds of things in life where we need the Holy Spirit to fill us. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us in raising children. We need the Holy Spirit to help us in cleaning the house, washing the dishes, at our job, anywhere we are, on a vacation, on a fishing trip, hunting trip, wherever we're going, in the grocery store. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us wherever we are. Men and women are full. Listen, here is the problem. Men and women are full of themselves. Look at verse 9. It says in Acts chapter 13. And it says, "Then Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit." How did I respond like that? How did God do that like that? How did God rescue me in that situation? How did it happen? All I can say to you is God did it. And if you can explain it, it's not a miracle. It's not a miracle. God did it, being filled. So, verse number 9 of that chapter, why didn't Paul pray? I'll tell you why. He didn't need to pray. You know why? He had emptied himself of himself. It's called humility. That's what it is. And the Holy Spirit, if we're not filled, we're leaky vessels. And the old man and the old sin nature and that carnal nature and the world and the devil himself begins to work on us. And we learn how to live our lives without being filled with the Holy Spirit. Most men and women are full of themselves. We must empty. Die to self. Every last one, me, and every last person here. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 9. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he says in this passage, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." When you and I think that we're so necessary and we're so special and we're so full of ourselves, I'm going to tell you something. You're not full of the Holy Spirit. I'm not worthy because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. That's what Paul said. He wrote 2/3 of this New Testament. This man had the revelation of the catching away of the church when Christ would come for his people. This man had so much revelation. We don't know. We have our own thoughts on the thorn in the flesh, but you know what? He had emptied himself. I can tell the difference in me, and you know the difference in you. And he didn't have to pray. He was already filled with the Holy Spirit. And so here's a changed man. Here's a man that had a horrible, terrible history. I talked to a pastor today that had such a horrible past, he can't get away from it. I said, well, what if Jesus just came to you in real person, real time, and said, you're approved? Would that be good? He said, that would be great. Well, I said, that's what he's doing. He's saying, you're approved. The devil beats people up with condemnation and conviction. It's not conviction, it's condemnation. You're approved. You're forgiven. It's gone. Never to be brought against you ever again. So here's a man as a lion. He was a lion, this Saul. A persecutor, a murderer. A lion changed to a sheep. It's amazing how that could happen. I hardly ever. I went with Marie to a movie. It was a real good. I don't know, it was a Christian movie, but I went to sleep. But I remember one movie with Harrison Ford where he was this hard lawyer. He'd take these people, man. I mean, he'd get these people. He'd take their money. He had somebody shoot him. He had an accident. Anybody besides me ever see that? And it totally changed his personality. He became a gentle person. He became a kind person. This man was a lion. This man was turned up from a lion into a sheep. You say, how can that happen? God. Unless God does that, there's no hope. There's very few that are great. This man is not proud. This man's not self-important. Why are you not filled? Why are we not filled? Because you are full of yourself, and I am full of myself. And pride is the sin of Satan. And the Bible says God resists the proud. Most people think they're worthy. This man I talked to, he said with tears, I'm not worthy of anything. Listen, we need to die to self. All ministry. We're in a ministry. You know how we're in the ministry? By grace. That's the only way. We don't have word skills, and I took courses and all that junk, but you can't communicate. God has to come through. And this is why there are so many people out in the ministry, and most of the time they're full of themselves, and they haven't had anybody saved in a year or 2 years or more. They don't get anybody saved. I'd drive a town crazy. I would drive that town crazy. Amen. All ministry, musicians, singers, preachers, teachers, small group leaders. This is the reason most people fail and are barren, because of this very thing. They're full of themselves. And they cannot, when they're faced with the demonic or questions or an opposition or a challenge, immediately filled with the Holy Spirit, bam, give the answer and bring the power of God to bear upon that person. Hallelujah. And that man was blind. See, God wouldn't, he was blind. They led him around. This is where Paul had already died to himself, so he didn't need to stop and pray. He's right in the middle of it. You say, what's the truth? The truth is, I preach this so much, I'm sick of hearing myself preach it. You need to be humble. You're not. If you're full of yourself, you will not be filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit if we're filled with ourselves. He said, who put me in the ministry? Read the book. Read the words. Think about the way. He said, who put me? By his grace, I don't have a right to be in the ministry. I don't have a right to be called anything. I don't have a right to do it. I am what I am, but by the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, he was able, without even stopping to pray and or counsel or bring any kind of judge, all he could do was just speak, because in that moment he was filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't have to pray. He was already filled. So it is that, one more scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. I believe this is in my soul tonight. You will not serve God a long time without having him hurt you. A.W. Tozer's right. Those whom God would use greatly, he must hurt. Deeply. Most people, we run away. We get angry. We've got our case. We've got our grudge. We've got our axe to grind. We're full of ourselves. Oh, God, have mercy on me, you, and all of us. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 19, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, and some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master. You see it? Useful for the master. Prepared for every good work. Cleaning bathrooms, vacuuming, preaching, teaching, singing, playing an instrument. He will be prepared. Flee also, young people, youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He says in this passage of Scripture, and here it is, as the older brother was talking to the younger brother, here it is. We must cleanse ourselves. We must cleanse ourselves from selfishness and sanctify and be set apart We're different. We're different. I don't feel good when I'm around a lot of things. We're different people. In Congo, they have weddings, and over on this side, they have the bar where people can drink wine and whiskey, beer, gin, vodka. Over here on this side, the Christians, they all gather for the wedding because they don't want anyone to be offended. And so they all come together. And those that are Christians, they go over here to this side and have orange juice and grape juice and Coke and Pepsi or whatever. And these people over here, they go over and have theirs. It's an abomination. Here we've got people here in our church, they want to get married. And when they get married, they bring their wine in. They want to do the bump and the grind and do their thing. There's a reason why. I'm reading the book, Sipping Saints, by David Wilkerson. There's a reason why God's against alcohol and wine. It's the number one killer of teenagers, for one thing. Car wrecks and families wrecked, and my poor wife, bless her heart, has some stories to tell. He said that we have to empty ourselves. I'm closing. Paul was filled. And what happened? This man got saved. When are we? This man got redeemed in that moment. He believed because there was a powerful manifestation of God that came when he spoke, being filled with the Holy Ghost. We must empty ourselves. God resists the proud. Your ministry will change. And I close with true humility. I saw the end of the story. That's the one. I didn't go to sleep in that one. In that movie, Unbroken, by Louis Zamperini. And I saw Billy Graham's grandson preach at the end. And I heard him say before, I'm not the best speaker out there. And you can tell. He's not Billy Graham, but that boy's sincere. That boy's real, I believe. We must cleanse our hearts from iniquity. We must set ourselves apart unto God, for it is his grace that matters. And that's the difference in being filled. You cannot, I cannot, no one cannot, I'm not... be filled with the Holy Ghost if they're filled with themselves. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And there are some vessels unto honor, some unto dishonor. Filled. It's a mandate from heaven. Say, how can I? Well, I wasn't raised around all that shouting and raising their hands and that babble. I had we had some girls from the university in Flagstaff at Arizona. They said, we want to learn how you guys babble. They want to learn how to speak in tongues. We just said, raise your hands and start believing God, and they just started speaking in tongues. Well, I'll tell you something. When pastors say, let's praise God, you don't have to be trained. You don't have to feel anything. Listen, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Where's this at? Hold it. Oh, here it is. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. How can you be filled with the Spirit? Here it is. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing. In a song service, singing. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. And as we're singing, as we're worshiping, as our hands are in the air, we're worshiping, we're focused, we're looking up, we're trusting God. We're in the middle of a storm. We're facing challenges that people don't even know about or care about, but he does. And if he be for you, who can be against you? It doesn't matter where you've been, who you slept with, and how many things you've done wrong. God Almighty sent his son to die on that cross, and his blood still cleanses. And you can lift your hands up to him and give thanks to him, and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will be filled. Oh, glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight. Lord, we thank you that you give us the people that are lost and hopeless and lonely and broken with this world's trouble and all the horrible things that they've been through. We believe you, God, to work miracles of grace and power and deliverance in our own hearts. Change us, oh God. Transform us like you did Saul. We want to empty ourselves of our own self so we will be filled. Oh God, you look upon those in your word. In all of the history of your speaking, you looked upon those that were humble and in humility cried out, oh God, and you heard their cry. And when that little lady said, even the puppies get the crumbs, please, Jesus, her child was healed in that instant. Thank you, Lord. While our heads are bowed, I know I'm a little bit radical and emotional, but I'm going to tell you tonight, this is the truth. People are filled with themselves. And that's the church's problem, and I've watched it since I was a boy. I see these preachers out there. They think they're intelligent. God, our wisest is foolishness in the mind of God. The only thing that pleases the Lord is humility and faith. Oh, yes. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it changes a person. It changes a person. And Louis, when he came out of that tent with Billy Graham, he went home. And he started finding those bottles of liquor hidden in that place. And he began to pour them out. He worked for Jesus the rest of his life and lived up into his 90s. This is the real thing, folks. This is the real deal. It's called the power of the Holy Ghost. But he will not feel self-exalting, full of ourselves. He will not. How many tonight would say, I need forgiveness, I want God to save, I want God to change my life? Just raise your hands. Hands are going up. God bless you. Quickly, I see these hands, but God bless you. How many would be humble enough to say, I'm so sick of being filled with myself, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Mine too. Let's stand, shall we? God bless you, son. Hallelujah. 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 You go down there to that church and you get set free from alcoholism and drug addiction and all kinds of ugly and horrible things that you don't want anymore. Your life will be changed. Hallelujah.